So this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was marred in his hands. So the potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seemed best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me. He said, can I not do with you, Israel, as the potter does, declare the Lord? Like clay in the hand of the potter, so are you in my hand, Israel. If at any time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be uprooted, torn down and destroyed, and if that nation I warn repents of its evil, then I will relent and not inflict on it the disaster I have planned. And if at another time I announce that a nation or kingdom is to be built up and planted, and if it does evil in my sight and does not obey me, then I will reconsider the good I had intended to do for it. Now therefore say to the people of Judah and those living in Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says, look, I'm preparing a disaster for you and devising a plan against you, so turn from your evil ways, each one of you, and reform your ways and your actions. God was talking to Jeremiah about the whole nation, a large group of people, not individuals. Places we come together to learn, like schools, colleges, universities, and even churches, help to form us together as a group or community. And I want you to just think in your head, just before Ivan just comes up to lead us in prayers, is how have places of learning helped to form you? That's school, that's colleges, uni, but that's also church as well. This is a place of learning. How have they helped to form you? How have they helped you to grow and to flourish? And how have they helped you to make a new start or go in a different direction? Think those thoughts. This morning, as it's Education Sunday, I thought it would be good to explore and look at what education looked like back in biblical times. I don't think there were too many present here then, but some may be quite close to that, but we shall see. So in education in the Old Testament times, the primary purpose of education among the Jews was learning of and obedience to the law of God. And this generally refers to the Pentateuch, which is generally the first five books in our Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. But the second purpose of education was to teach about the practical aspects of everyday life. So for a boy, it would have been a trade. So for Jesus, it was being a carpenter, because that's what his earthly father did. And also the care, but when it came to the care of the house, the application of dietary laws and how to be a good wife, that was for the girls. Okay, that's what they did. And the home was considered the first and most effective place in the education process, and parents were considered the first and most effective teachers of their children, which, as maybe some parents, not necessarily here, disagree, but that's the same nowadays, actually. Education is a partnership between parents and schools, okay? And children learn a lot from their parents. I'm just going to read you some verses, Deuteronomy 6, 4 to 7. I'll just read it from the verse 1. It says, this was one of the key laws that Jews had to hold on to it, and it's a key one for us too. So these are the commands, decrees and laws of the Lord. Before that, we had the Ten Commandments, things like that. God directed me to teach you to observe in the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess, so that you, your children and their children after them may fear the Lord your God as long as you live by keeping all of his decrees and commands that I give you, and so that they may enjoy long life. Hear, Israel, be careful to obey so that it may go well with you and that you may increase greatly in a land flowing with milk and honey, just as the Lord, the God of your ancestors, promised. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home, when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. Okay? So there is a decree, really, to tell the children. Tell the children. It's a this verses weren't just aimed at parents, because actually within biblical times it was certainly a community thing. Community helped bring up children, so it's to the community as well. And training in the Torah, these laws began from an early age, and it was mainly the father who was obligated to teach that by example and by word. But what about schools? Were there schools? Well, there were schools. They were in the local synagogue in the first century, and apparently a community would hire a teacher, respectfully called a rabbi, for the school. And even though they were responsible for education, they had no authority in the synagogue itself. And children began to study from the age of 4 and 5 in something called Beth Sefer. And most scholars believe that boys and girls attended the synagogue regularly. So what did they do? What did they do in the synagogue? Well, boys and girls of that age and upwards, they would learn primarily, they'd be focused primarily on the Torah, which is the first 5 books in our Bible, emphasizing both reading and writing of it. And large portions were memorized. And it's likely that most students would know the first 5 books in the Bible off by heart or by memory by the time they reached 12 or 13. Okay? So they would know it off by heart. So I thought it would be good if we had a few volunteers up, some children up. Go on then, Emily. Who else would like to come up? Jaden, would you like to come up? Yes. Look, he just got up. That's great. Frankie, anyone else? Joel, do you want to come up? Right. What we need is some Bibles. I have a couple Bibles here. Have we got some Bibles? So what I want you to do is just to memorize some scripture. Okay? Because it says in there. So what I'm going to do, I want you to look in the first 5 books of the Bible. I want you to choose a little passage in the first 5 books. Doesn't want to edit. I just want you to read it and read it and read it so that you can memorize it and then you can read it back to us. All right? You don't know, you can choose how much, okay? But it's got to be more than one verse. So first 5 books in the Bible. I won't expect you to know all 5 books in the Bible, but choose a little passage, right? So you can go back to your seats and do this. You don't have to sit up here. At the end, we're going to see how well you've done, all right? So maybe a few verses, okay? That'll be great. That'll be fantastic. But that's what they would have done in those days, okay? And then when that had finished, okay, most of the students would then stay at home. So when that education had finished, most of that, the students then would stay at home. The boys would learn the trade, okay? As I said, Jesus' trade was carpenter. Boys would learn a trade, and the girls would be involved in looking after the house and learning that kind of thing. Okay. However, the best students, okay, the best students that have learnt really well and have shown a considerable promise, they would have gone on to secondary school, which was Beth Midrash. So it'd be around about 12, 13. And they were taught by the rabbi in the community. And here, along with learning about, again, the five book, the law, they would also begin to look at some of the prophets and the writings. Okay? So what they had available to them, they would look at that. Okay? And memorization would continue to be important. So they would continue to learn and learn. One of the things they would do is when learning scripture, key verses, is they would learn what came before and what came after, which is a really, really good thing for us. When we look at the Bible, don't just take a verse, pull it out of the Bible and use it. Look at what comes before. Look at what comes after. Look at context. Okay? So they had it. So that's how what they would do. They would study. They would look at. They do lots of repetition. Do you remember in school when you had to, in maths lesson, you had to do your times tables? Do you remember that? 1 times 2 is 2. 2 times 2 is 4. 3 times. Oh, you know, you'd repeat it, wouldn't you? Over and over again. Repetition sinking in, you see. Okay. Do you still do that, Joel? Do you do lots of repeating your times tables in school? No, not anymore. Do you know your times tables? Well, did. That's good. Brilliant. Do you know your 9 times table? Great. Great. Good. So he doesn't need to memorize it. That's good. Right. Brilliant. So there was that memory things there. So they would practice that. And then they would do that until they're a little bit older, into their sort of, late teens, okay? And then they would go off into the world. Again, you know, they would be a bit higher up, so they may go off into other jobs, learn family trade and that kind of thing. However, there would be a few, just a few, which would go on beyond secondary school as such. And they would be, that would go, and they would be Beth Midrash students. And what they would do is they would look for a rabbi, and they would find the rabbi and say to the rabbi that they would like to come under his teaching. Okay? They would come under his teaching, and they would become his disciple. Okay? They would become his disciple, okay? And it would be very, very few, and they would seek the rabbi to ask him if they could be his disciple, which is in complete contrast to what Jesus did. Because Jesus, when he went to get his disciples, he chose them. He chose his disciples. They didn't choose him. Yes, they had to make a choice, but he chose them, which happened very, very rarely. And the other thing about Jesus choosing his disciples, he didn't choose the best of the best. The fact they were fishermen probably meant that they probably came out probably at the elementary stage. So they probably only did the first 12 years so of education. So what did they have to do? Well, they had to, it took a lot of commitment, okay? To become a disciple, you had to be really committed, because you'd have to leave home probably for a very long time, not for a few years like at university or whatever like that. It would be for a long, long time. And you would have to travel for lengthy periods. And the thing as well is you had to really trust the rabbi, because you wouldn't know where you were going. You wouldn't know why you were doing it. You had complete trust in the rabbi to come along, to go and follow him. Okay? These students were called the Talmidim. Talmidim, yeah. In Hebrew, which is translated disciple, it is much more than a student. A student wants to know what the teacher knows for a grade, to complete the class, or get a degree, or even some might do it out of respect for the teacher. However, a disciple wants to be like the teacher. They are to become what the teacher is. That meant that students were passionately devoted to their rabbi and noted everything he did or said. Even, and this is no word of a lie because there are lots of evidence of it, even when the rabbi went to the toilet, the disciples would follow because they would want to know how the rabbi did it. Okay? This is how much the disciples wanted to be like the rabbi. The rabbi relationship was very intense and it was a personal system of education. As the rabbi lived and taught, the disciples' understanding of scripture grew and they listened and watched and they imitated so that they could become like him. And eventually, for those that, well, to be fair, a lot did, when they reached about 30, it was then that they too would become rabbis and they too would be in search of disciples as well. Think back to Jesus. Think back to his time of ministry. What age was he about when he gathered his disciples? Around about 30. Okay. So actually how Jesus worked, he worked within that system of the education and the rabbi disciple role. So there is a bit of a difference. So Jesus chose his disciples, whereas most rabbis didn't. So what did it mean? I've mentioned a few things. So it took high commitment. You had to be committed to be a disciple of a rabbi. You had to be committed because it was a long, long time. It was active learning. As you learned, you did. Okay? As you learned, you did it. There was imitation, which was copying. They wanted to imitate the rabbi. They wanted to be like the rabbi. And there was something about living in community as well. That's what they did. They lived in community. If we follow Christ, if we would say we're his disciples, we need to do those things as well. We're not just Christians. That's the thing. We're not just Christians. We're disciples. In the Bible, in when Jesus tells his disciples to go out again, hear what I'm saying there, that he tells his disciples to go out. That is what the rabbi would have done anyway. He goes out to make disciples. He doesn't say go out and make Christians. He says go out and make disciples. So if we follow Christ, we are in fact should be disciples of Jesus. And we need those four things. Following Christ demands commitment. There is a cost of discipleship. When we look at the Bible, there are many verses about the commitment that is needed to follow Jesus. You know, it talks about, you know, turning your back on, you know, not necessarily literally, but as an example, turning your back on parents, let the dead bury their own dead, all those kinds of things, okay? It's a commitment to follow Jesus. It's all or nothing. We need to be reading the Bible. We need to be putting our trust in him. Even if we don't know where we are going, the destination, we need to be putting our trust in Jesus because he is our teacher. We need to learn his ways. We need to be active learners. We need to be getting out there and doing it. It's no good talking and just praying about the poor. We need to be going out and doing something about the poor. It's no good having meetings about doing this, that and the other. It's no good me doing a sermon to you about this is what we should be doing if we don't go out and do it. That's what active learning is about. We get out there and we do it. That's what Christ demands from being a disciple. We need to be imitators of Jesus. To be his disciple, we need to imitate him. Luke 6:40, a disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. A disciple of Jesus enters a lifelong learning process to live the same life as Jesus lived. 1 Peter 2:21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. And Paul writes in Corinthians, be imitators of me, just as I also am of Christ. And fourthly, as I've said, when we are to be disciples of Jesus, we need to live in community with one another. And this is where the church comes in. The early church, if you read in Acts, was very much about community. Community with one another. We are community. We need to be supporting each other, looking out for each other, worshipping and praying together. That's what the rabbi-disciple relationship was about. And that is the relationship we need to have with Jesus and with our fellow disciples. So as we truly follow Christ, as we immerse ourselves in discipleship by God's Holy Spirit, we begin to be formed and reformed. Reformed into what God truly wants us to be. We become just like Christ. Is that what we want to be? Do we truly want to be disciples of Christ? What is our commitment to him? Are we prepared to bear the cost? Are we doers as well as hearers? And when you look in the mirror in the morning, do you see Christ looking back at you? I can imagine on all of those, there were ums and ahs. I probably think, actually, I couldn't do all of that. But that's where I want to be. That's where I want to be as a disciple of Jesus. And we thank God that the Holy Spirit is there to form and reform into just that. Let's pray, and then the young people will come up and read us or tell us their verses. Let's just pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the great teacher, that through your word and through your actions you have taught us so much. And Lord Jesus, help us to be disciples for you. Help us in all those areas to show that we are ready, that we are committed to being your disciple. Lord Jesus, I pray, Lord, that through your Holy Spirit, that you will change us, that we will become more like you day after day, so that one day when we go to heaven, we will change completely into your likeness. But actually, whilst we're here, that we can get as close to it as possible. Help us to live in community, one with another. Help us to support each other, to care for each other, to learn together, to pray together. Help us to be at one with this common goal of becoming more like you and becoming disciple. Lord Jesus, help us to remember these things as we go out into our workplaces, into our schools, wherever it may be, so that when we're out there, people can see that we truly are followers of you. Amen.